So fitness costs associated with resistance to BT occur when resistant individuals have lower fitness than susceptible individuals in the absence of a BT toxin. So what happens here is that mutations that confer resistance to BT have negative effect on insect vital functions, such that individuals that carry mutations have a lower fitness than individuals that do not carry mutations in the absence of a BT toxin. So in the last 10, 15 years, information has accumulated on the molecular basis of resistance to BT, and we can use that information to generate hypotheses about the cause of fitness costs and their occurrence. So we know that cadherin-based resistance to BT is involved in three key cotton pests: the pink bollworm, the tobacco budworm, and the cotton bollworm. So cadherin proteins are widely distributed in insect tissues and likely play many roles. But from the point of view of cost, an important function would be that cadherin proteins are involved in cell-cell adhesion in the insect midgut. So that leads to the hypothesis that fitness costs would occur because resistant individuals have a lower ability than susceptible individuals to use host plants with toxic phytochemicals. So the idea here is that the cadherin mutations increase the gut permeability of the insects and make the resistant individuals more vulnerable to toxic phytochemicals. So we would therefore expect costs to lower the feeding performance of resistant insects and to result in general negative effects on life history traits such as survival, developmental time, and pupal weight. So aminopeptidase-based resistance to BT have been identified in two species of armyworms. Aminopeptidase N is involved in protein digestion, so that leads to the hypothesis that cost could be due to a lower ability of resistant and susceptible insects to use host plants with specific proteins. So again, we would expect a lower feeding performance in resistant and susceptible insects, and therefore general negative effects on a wide range of life history traits. Protease-mediated resistance to BT have been identified in the Indian meal moth, and Brenda Hopper just showed data that it was also likely to be present in the European corn borer. So trypsin-like protease inhibitors are are involved in protein digestion. So again, here an hypothesis for fitness costs is that those mutations would lower the ability of resistant insects to use different food products with specific proteins, and we would expect negative effects on performance of the resistant insects, and therefore negative effects on life history traits, many life history traits of those insects. So based on that molecular information, then we would expect costs to be manifested as a lower feeding performance of the resistant insects compared to the susceptible insects, and therefore we would expect those costs to be widespread. And as a matter of fact, in a recent literature review, we found that fitness costs associated with resistance to BT are common. About 80%, 83% of the studies published since 1985 seeking costs associated with resistance to BT have found those costs. So given this, an important question for pest management is what would be the effect of those costs on the evolution of resistance to BT crops. So the refuge strategy is widely implemented to delay the evolution of resistance to BT crops, and that strategy is based on two principles. The first one is that recessive resistance and refuges will lower the heritability of resistance and therefore result in delays in the evolution of resistance. So in this line and the next ones, in blue you have a field of a BT crop, in green you have a refuge. And what happens here is that refuges produce lots of susceptible insects that will mate with the rare homozygote resistant insects that can survive on the BT crop. The progeny of those matings will die because resistance is recessive. So the resemblance between the resistant parents and their offspring in the BT crop environment is close to zero, which means that the heritability of resistance is close to zero, and therefore that we would expect strong delays in the evolution of resistance. The second principle underlying the refuge strategy is that fitness costs select against resistance in refuges. So in this slide, the size of the mods here represent the relative fitness of the genotypes in the two environments. So this pointer is kind of tough. So here you have, you can see that the fitness of susceptible insects and heterozygote insects is the same. And you see a reduction in fitness of the homozygote resistant individuals. So you have a recessive fitness cost here. And you can see here that only the resistant individuals survive on the BT crop. So here the cost will be selecting against resistance through the refuge environment. And here selection will favor an increase of resistance in the BT crop environment. And what happens here is that selection against resistance in refuges will offer counterbalance selection for resistance on the BT crop, such that we will observe a delay in the evolution of resistance, or such that we will block the evolution of recessive resistance. So before going on and talking a little bit more about conditions for a delay in resistance, I have to define two terms. First, dominance of fitness costs. Costs are recessive when they do not affect heterozygotes. So fitness of RS is equal to fitness of SS in refuges. Costs are non-recessive when they reduce fitness of heterozygotes. And resistance is incomplete when fitness of homozygote-resistant individuals on a BT crop is smaller than their fitness on a non-BT crop. So what happens here is that your homozygote-resistant individuals can survive on the BT crop, but the BT toxin is still getting at them, it still has negative effect on them, such that their fitness on the transgenic crop is lower than their fitness on the non-BT crop. Now, let's look at the first set of conditions, recessive fitness costs and incomplete resistance. And in this figure, the size of the letters represents the relative fitness of the genotypes. So here, the fitness of SS is equal to the fitness of RS, and you have a reduction of fitness in RR, so we have a recessive fitness cost. And you see here, the fitness of RR on the transgenics is smaller than its fitness on the BT crop, so we have incomplete resistance. Now, if resistance is recessive, the RS individuals do not survive on the BT crop, so they do not contribute to the increase in resistance through that environment. And if fitness costs are recessive, selection does not operate on the RS, so the RS are neutral with respect to selection in the refuge environment. So what happens, therefore, is that what drives the evolution of resistance in a case like this is the selection differential between the RR individuals and the SS individuals, both in the refuges and in the transgenic crop environment. So let's put some numbers on this. Assume that resistance of survival of the RR individuals here is 0.2. So we have a selection differential favoring an increase in resistance of 0.2. And assume that survival of the SS and RS in the refuge is 0.8, and of the RR is 0.6. So we have a selection differential disfavoring selection of 0.2. So under those conditions, with a simple deterministic model, what you find is that the frequency of resistance is stable irrespective of the initial frequency of the resistance alleles. Now, let's switch change the conditions a little bit. 51% refuge, 49% BT crop. So now this selection differential is multiplied by a greater number than this one. And under those conditions, you will have a decline in the frequency of resistance independent of the initial frequency of the resistance alleles. So you can see here that costs can block the evolution of recessive resistance. What we have here is a general model for the effect of recessive fitness costs and recessive on the evolution of recessive resistance. What you have here is the abundance of refuges, and here the importance of those recessive fitness costs. And here you have a line that represents a single value of incomplete resistance. So if you take combinations of high refuges and high fitness costs, you can see that the prediction of a simple deterministic model will be that resistance will decrease. And if you take combinations of small refuges and small fitness costs, you expect that resistance will increase. Now here you have the general model with several values for incomplete resistance. I equal 1 means no incomplete resistance. I equal 0.2 means a reduction of 80% of the fitness of RR on the BT crop compared to the non-BT crop. And the dot here represents an estimate of recessive fitness costs and incomplete resistance in pink bollworm based on 4 or 5 experiments. And you can see here that the estimate is about 55% for fitness costs and about 0.35 for incomplete resistance. Now, if you look here, the prediction with this model is that for anything more than 23% refuges, you will have a decline in resistance. You block the evolution of recessive resistance, and for anything more less than 22% refuges, you have an increase in resistance. So you can see that under a wide range of conditions, we can delay or block the evolution of recessive resistance. Now let's look at another set of conditions, non-recessive fitness costs. So here you see that the fitness of RS is smaller than the fitness in SS. So when we release a transgenic crop, we expect the frequency of resistance alleles to be low, which means that most of the individuals that will carry resistance alleles will be those RS individuals. And with recessive resistance, RS individuals do not survive on the BT crop, so they do not contribute to the evolution of resistance. But with non-recessive costs, selection is strong against the RS because their fitness is lower than the SS. So selection is strong for a decline in resistance in a case like this. And this is what we show here with, again, a simple deterministic model. So we assume here a small fitness cost, 1%. So survival and refuges of SS is 1, and RR is 0.99. And again, resistance is recessive. RR survives on the BT crop, the other genotypes do not. And we simulate the evolution of resistance with a simple deterministic model. Initial frequency of the R allele is 0.001. And we simulate the evolution of resistance assuming recessive costs, additive costs, and dominant costs with a small and a larger refuge. So if you have recessive costs, you see it takes 118 generations for resistance to evolve. Larger refuges, you have a delay greater than 150 generations. If the cost is additive, however, you see an important delay with a small refuge. And here you get a decline in resistance. So you block the evolution of recessive resistance in this case. And if the 1% cost is dominant with a small refuge or with a large refuge, you block the evolution of resistance. So you can see here that non-recessive fitness costs are extremely powerful to delay or block the evolution of recessive resistance. Now recently there was a nice theoretical paper looking at the effect of costs with transgenic crops with 2 toxins. And the results are qualitatively similar to what I have discussed so far for 1 toxin plants, except that costs are more powerful to delay or block the evolution of resistance with 2 toxin crops than with 1 toxin crops. And the reason for this is that let's assume totally recessive fitness costs here, and let's assume 2 resistant genes. So you have 9 resistant genotypes in the refuge, and under this circumstance, you have 5 that have a lower fitness than the homozygote susceptible genotype. Now, for a 1 toxin crop, you have, with recessive costs, you have 1 out of 3 genotypes that have a lower fitness than the homozygote susceptible genotype. So, for a 1 toxin crop, you have costs that affect 33% of the genotypes. For a 2 toxin crop, 55% of the genotypes. So selection is stronger for a decline in resistance through the refuge environment. So in summary, theory suggests that the refuge strategy will delay or block the evolution of resistance to Bt crops. If resistance is recessive or nearly so, if refuges provide many susceptible insects to Bt crop fields, and if fitness costs and incomplete resistance are present. So given this and an interesting question for resistance management is, can we manipulate costs to delay the evolution of resistance? And this can be done essentially in two ways. Number one, we could try to use specific plants in the refuges that would either increase the magnitude or costs or make them less recessive. And number two, we could try to use natural enemies in refuges like nematodes and viruses that would increase the magnitude of the costs. So today, in the rest of this talk, I'll only talk about this first point, but Aaron Gassman will talk about the second point in a symposium talk on Tuesday at 3:10. The title of the symposium is The Impact of Infection on Infection. So if you're interested in this, I highly recommend that talk. Now, to look at the effect of host plants on fitness costs in pinball worm, we started with an experiment where we fed resistant insects, susceptible insects, and F1 insects on an artificial diet with or without gossypol. So the pinball worm in Arizona is an ecological specialist, only feeds on cotton, and cotton contains many toxic phytochemicals, including gossypol, that is known to have many negative effects on insect herbivores. So what we did here then is that we use strains from Safford and Mojave. Both Safford resistant strain and the Mojave resistant strains were selected by Tim Dennehy to survive on Bt cotton. So on the x-axis here, you have either a diet without gossypol or a diet with gossypol, and the life history trait we're looking at is pupal weight. And if you see here, if you feed larvae on a diet without gossypol, pupal weight is the same in the resistant insects, susceptible insects, and the F1 insects. But on the gossypol diet, you induce recessive fitness costs. Pupal weight is significantly lower in the resistant than susceptible insects. And for the Mojave strains, you can see again, a diet without gossypol, no difference in pupal weight. On a diet with gossypol, you induce a dominant cost. Pupal weight significantly lower in F1 insects and resistant insects than in susceptible insects. So those data are consistent with the hypothesis that cadherin mutations that confer resistance to Bt cotton in the pinball worm increase the gut permeability such that the resistant insects become more vulnerable to phytochemicals. Now, we were interested to see what is the effect of different host plants. To do this, again, we wear different sets of strains on two types of non-Bt cotton cultivars. So in black, we use Delta Pine 50, which is a commercial non-Bt cotton cultivar, and in white, Texas 53, a non-commercial non-Bt cultivar known to induce high mortality in pinball worm. The top panel here, you have results for a set of aphis strains and a set of Mojave strains, and they were pooled because they show the same response to the two cultivars. At the bottom, we have our set of the Safford strains, and the life history trait we're looking at is proportion survival. So you see on Delta Pine here that we have a recessive fitness cost, and on Texas 53, we also have a recessive fitness cost. And note here that the selection differential between the RR and SS individuals tends to be greater on Delta Pine 50 than on Texas 53. And also note that mortality is significantly higher on Delta Pine, on Texas 53 than on Delta Pine 50. For Mojave, for the Safford strains, again, a recessive cost on Delta Pine 50. There was no significant difference between the F1 insects here and the susceptible insects. And a trend for a recessive cost on Texas 53, but the difference between RR and SS was non-significant. So again, note here that the selection differential between RR and SS tends to be greater on Delta Pine 50 than on Texas 53. So therefore, those results do not suggest that different cultivars change the dominance of fitness costs, but there's a trend for different cultivars to increase the magnitude of fitness costs. So given this, we were interested in just using those survival data in a very simple deterministic model to see, to kind of qualitatively look at the idea that if we plant different plants in a refuge, we could have a different impact on the evolution of resistance. And here, those are the results of those simple simulations, assuming 50% refuge and totally recessive resistance and incomplete resistance of 0.35, which is what we find in pink bollworm. And here you see the plant, the refuge is Delta Pine 50, and using the survival data of the previous experiment, you find that resistance will not occur. And the reason for this is that, as I pointed out, you have a large selection differential between the SS and the RR individuals in the refuge. If you take Texas 53, however, selection proceeds at a moderate rate. And the reason for this is because we have a small selection differential between SS and RR in refuges. So from the point of view of resistance management, this suggests that the plants that you want to plant in refuges are not necessarily plants that induce high mortality, like Texas 53. The plants that you want to plant in refuges are plants that increase the selection differential between the resistant and the susceptible insects. So in pink bollworm, we don't find evidence that plants can modify the dominance of costs, but evidences are building up that plants can modify the dominance of costs. A very good data set that was just published is in the case of Helicoverpa emergera, an experiment done in Australia by Lisa Bird and Ray Ackhurst. And what they did is that they compared the fitness of RR individuals, SS individuals, and crosses between those on three different host plants, so pigeon pea, sorghum, and cotton. And here, A, B, C, D are four different life history traits. So if you look at survival, portion survival to adulthood, you find a recessive cost on pigeon pea, recessive cost on sorghum, and recessive cost on cotton. So survival lower in RR than SS. However, if you look at developmental time, no cost on pigeon pea, a recessive cost on sorghum, and an additive cost on cotton. If you look for pupil weight, recessive cost on pigeon pea, dominant cost on sorghum, no cost on cotton, and time to 50% emergence of moth, no cost on pigeon pea, dominant cost on sorghum, additive costs on cotton. So those data suggest that cotton and sorghum would be better refuges for managing resistance to Cry1AC cotton in Armidura than pigeon pea. Now, I mentioned previously that Caderian mutations have been identified in Armidura as a cause of resistance, but we don't know whether this particular strain as those Caderian mutations, but if they had those Caderian mutations, that would suggest that perhaps those mutations make the midgut more permeable and makes the resistant Armidura more susceptible to toxic phytochemicals, with the idea that the phytochemicals in cotton and sorghum would be more toxic for Armidura than the phytochemicals in pigeon pea. So far I've talked a lot about Caderian mutations increasing gut permeability, and we have recent data that suggests that it's the case in pink bollworm. So this is data obtained by my PhD student, Jennifer William, very recent data. So what we did here is that we used larvae from one of our hybrid strains, the Mojave strain. So those are strains that are propagated through time, keeping the frequency of resistance around 0.5. And what we did is we put those larvae on an artificial diet with gauze ball, and after 2 weeks, we void the gut of the larvae, so there's no food in any of those larvae. We take the head of the larvae, and we PCR them to identify their resistance genotype, and then we send the body of the larvae blind to Monsanto St. Louis, and they analyze the content of the larvae for gauze ball. And I'd like to thank Graham Head and Robert Ort for their collaboration on this. So in Mojave, we have two cadherin mutations that confer resistance to Bt cotton, which we call R1 and R3. And you can see here that gospel content of the larvae is very low in the susceptible larvae and significantly higher in the homozygous resistant larvae, much, much higher in R1, R1 than R3, R3, and in the middle for R1, R3. And interestingly, you can see an increase in concentration of gospel in R1S, which is intermediate between R1, R1 and SS. And for R3S, we're closer to the resistant genotype than to the susceptible genotype. So again, those data strongly suggest that cadherin mutations that confer resistance to Bt cotton in the pink bollworm increase the permeability of the midgut and make the resistant individuals more vulnerable to phytochemicals than the susceptible individuals. And this would be the cause, one of the reasons why we observe fitness costs in pink bollworm. Okay, in conclusion, theory suggests that fitness costs can delay or block the evolution of resistance to Bt crops. Empirical evidence are accumulating that host plants can affect the expression of fitness costs, and therefore we believe that a better knowledge of the effect of host plants on expression of costs could or will hopefully improve our ability to manage the evolution of resistance to transgenic crops. On this, I'd like to thank everybody that has contributed to that research. Thank you.